This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:49 in the morning. This is The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Philip. This week marks 100 days since Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri became the 9th Prime Minister of Malaysia following the resignation of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin after losing parliamentary support in August.
Ismail Sabri came into the office at the height of the COVID-19 outbreak with more than 20,000 cases of infection reported every day. Since then, cases are now down to 5,000 to 6,000 mark, and the political situation seems less tense compared to Muhyiddin's time in office, especially after a recent Barisan Nasional win at the Melaka state elections.
So what's the overall assessment of Ismail Sabri's first 100 days and what are expectations for the coming year? For some analysis on this, we have Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, Research Fellow at the Ilham Center, joining us on the line. Good morning, Hamidin. Thanks for joining us. What would you say are the most significant achievements of Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri's term as Prime Minister over these past 100 days? And we seem to have lost Hamidin. We will try to get him back on the line shortly. But I would say that one of the most significant achievements must be the MOU between the government and Pakatan Harapan, because I think brokering that was pretty instrumental and pretty, what's that word I'm looking for? Help me, guys. It's unprecedented.
Yes,
it is. It is.
He's the first UMNO vice president to have become a prime minister. Prior to this, you needed to be the top honcho at UMNO to be the prime minister. It came hand in hand, right? So this was a rather unusual move. And bear in mind, remember, it wasn't like everybody in UMNO was in cabinet. You know, they became what was known as the court cluster that was in charge. And Dato' Ismail Sabri was very much the face of COVID, of our COVID-19 strategy, right? Every evening he came on air and he told you know, what was happening. National security, I think that was the committee. He gave us updates in terms of what was happening, what was being addressed, and also very much the you know, telling us what the SOPs were.
That's right.
Yeah, and I think also, if you think about it, that MOU that you mentioned about SHAS was quite instrumental in getting the budget passed. This was a very expansionary budget. He also announced 12 Malaysia Plan. So, in essence, I think the MOU did help him secure a couple of these big wins in terms of getting the budget done.
How long will that MOU last? How long will that truce hold? Well, we have Dr. Hamidin back on the line with us. Hamidin, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Excellent.
Sorry, all right.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us. Let's start with what you think are the most significant achievements of Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri's prime ministership over the past 100 days.
I think for the past 100 days, one of the main contributions of Ismail Sabri is very much the signing of the MOU with the opposition, where he gives kind of stability a bit in terms of the political situation in the country. If you notice before that, it was a bit kind of there's security in terms of politics, but with the MOU, I think things are more stable between inter-party relations. So with that, I think give him a lot of more breathing space to carry out most of the policy, which is a continuation of Muhyiddin Yassin. But I think for me, is the MOU is the most significant achievement of Ismail Sabri.
Okay, so on the flip side, what do you think were his missed opportunities in the last 100 days?
I think one of the misses opportunity is very much to go beyond MOU, where I think he should really much go straight to the kind of more active role in terms of introducing reform, which is very much needed to give more stable when it comes to the politics in the country. And also, in my opinion, you to give good institutional reform that needed in the country.
But does he have the political will and the political base to actually push that through, right? Because at the end of the day, he's prime minister, but we're still dealing with a rather fractured coalition government.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges for Ismail Sabri is, in reality, that he is the prime minister, but he is not the leader of his own party. So I think that gives, as you said just now, not very much a good political base for him. And that will definitely impact his political will to do many things. So the biggest challenge for him is not very much from outside or even from his political enemy from other parties, but very much from within, where he is not a leader of his own party. So he has to succumb to other instruction within his own party, even though he's a prime minister.
So 100 days, they've come and gone. He's also intended to announce his 100-day report card to the public. Why has he not done that yet?
I think that's one of the biggest issue. In fact, When he mentioned about 100 days, we, the analysts, we were kind of a big question mark for us from which day he wants to look as a prime minister, because when we look at the policy, most of it is the same policy, and above all, is mostly the same people that were the minister. So this is one of the biggest, trickiest parts for him to show that his administration really make a difference in terms of policy. But so far, we didn't notice anything. So it's very difficult for him to prove that 100 days really make a difference for us.
And many are speculating that GE15 could be called in the first half of next year. Well, what are your thoughts? How likely do you think Ismail Sabri will call for elections then?
Interestingly for me, I don't think Ismail Sabri will have many power to decide when, or to advise him on Agong when going to be the general election. I think he is, if you notice, lately after the big win in Malacca, perhaps the national, particularly UMNO leaders, began already kind of taunting some ideas about having the election. So with that, I think Ismail Sabri is seriously under not only threat, but also I think by his own party to have an election early, which I think is very much depend on the UMNO MKT and also UMNO president. So now I think UMNO really pressure for the election as soon as possible.
So his biggest enemies could be in UMNO itself. Do you think that an UMNO election will be called ahead of the election, General?
Wow. Actually, for Ismail Sabri, the challenge for him, obviously his team and most of them, what we call it, the cabinet cluster in the UMNO, really want to have the UMNO election to be held earlier, before the general election. But the team B, or the court cluster, very very much want the general election to be held first before the UMNO election. And I think for the Masters in UMNO, the winning in Malacca give a very much advantage to the court cluster within UMNO now. They are the ones that are riding high. So with that, I think Ismail Sabri and cabinet cluster is seriously under pressure by the court cluster in UMNO.
So do you think then he will run for the top post eventually at UMNO then? Won't there be pressure on him to do so?
Yes, I think definitely. If there is an election before the general election, Ismail Sabri definitely wants to go back to general election as prime minister. Imagine this, yeah. Mm. He is a prime minister, but even for him to be a candidate in the election, he needs a signature of others. So that is, I think, how seriously that he wants to have the election of UMNO first, secure his base, his political base, become the president, and contested in a general election as the president of UMNO. So I think that is his intention at this particular time.
So how do you rank his chances, though? How do you rate his chances, excuse me?
Wow, it's a big... for us, I think it's very much looking at the current situation. I think with the court cluster riding high, Malacca, win in Malacca very much give a very big spotlight to Najib Razak and also to Zahid Hamidi. With that, I think for him, I think he will succumb to the pressure to have a general election earlier. So with that, I think it's very difficult for him to maintain as the Prime Minister.
Hamidin, thanks as always for your insights. That was Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, Research Fellow at the Ilham Centre, giving us his assessment of Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri's 100 days as Prime Minister and the kind of challenges that he faces in, I guess, trying to keep that position moving forward.
Perhaps the most important election is the one that we are voting for.
Yeah, probably. But I think the most important election in front of me, what I see, is the UMNO.
Exactly, the UMNO one we're not voting there. For.
Yeah, we're not voting for. You're right. So you are right, Philip. And what's interesting is, like, will he be able to get to the... Will he put his hat into the ring for top post? And if he does, will he win? How will he do?
Which explains why he has 31 ministers and 38 deputy ministers.
And a few special advisors.
Yes.
I mean, I'm presuming that Bersatu is invested in having Ismail Sabri maintain his position, because it's by the grace of Ismail Sabri that Bersatu, manages to stay where it is at the moment. If the court cluster were to come back into top leadership, I don't think Bersatu has very... the road will become much more difficult for them.
Interesting times ahead for Malaysia.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.